Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, August the 4th, and we got baseball for a night. How about that? As the Phillies, of course, lose to the Yankees 6-3 last night. Off tonight, as tonight's game has already been rained out with the hurricane. Rain's coming through the area here and in New York. And then tomorrow, the Phillies and Yankees will play a doubleheader in Philadelphia, where a unique one, you could say, as the first game of the doubleheader, the New York Yankees will be the home team in Philadelphia. And the Phillies will be the home team in game two, and then they'll finish out the series on Thursday. Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola will pitch those two games for the Phillies, which means maybe we won't have to see the bullpen too much. Wouldn't that be something? As certainly saw enough of the pen last night. Let's dive into last night. So much to get into between last night, what's going on around baseball, all that stuff. Let's start with last night. As look, we got to see the Phillies play a game. That was kind of fun, right? That was something. Look, it was a game that we all went into thinking the Phillies were going to lose. It is a massive, massive disadvantage to play a team that's been rolling along after having a week plus off. Like, it's just as big a disadvantage as you could have in this particular sport, a sport that's about timing, a sport that's about ramping your body up to a certain level, about habit, routine, all those types of things. And you know, this Phillies team is going in cold against the best team in baseball, record-wise. The Yankees now 8-1, just on a roll, and you're going up against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Honestly, I'm shocked the Phillies didn't lose by more. So, and a couple moments go a different way, maybe it's a different outcome. Probably not. Look, again, it is a massive, just a huge disadvantage for the Phillies to play that game last night, and now a day off and then two tomorrow. We'll see how they rebound against, again, the best team in baseball. The Yankees sitting at 8-1. So not ideal. The Phillies at 1-3. I guess Aaron Judge not homering last night. Is that something that we can take and write home about? I don't know where we're at yet this baseball season. Certainly not going to write home about the bullpen. We'll get to that. Let's start out with Arrieta, who gave up 3 runs in 5 innings of work. 5 innings, 3 earned, 7 hits, 4 strikeouts, no walks, which was nice to see. didn't start out well, as the very first batter for the Yankees of the game, DJ LeMahieu, opposite field home run to start the game against the Phillies. They were down early, but then, you know, they clawed back. Jay Bruce, a monster home run to tie it 1-1, but then it all really unfortunately fell apart there for the Phillies in the third, as they score the one in the top of the third to tie it at 1-1, and then the bottom of the third just goes haywire in a weird, frustrating way, as the Phillies would be down 3-1 at the end of the inning. It started with a Brett Gardner home run. That should have been it. It should have been 2-1, but then Aaron Judge, a two-out grounder down the line, Gene Segura, should have had it. Should have had it. Bounces off his glove. Really a play that he should have made. It is what it is. I know he's somewhat new to third base and all that, but that was, and he's done a good job other than that play, but absolutely a play your third baseman has to make. Instead, it goes in the left field, Judge at second base. And as expected, you knew it would come back to bite them, as Aaron Hicks, the next batter, doubles to left center field, and Judge comes around to score. It was really like it would have been a single if there weren't a runner on base, but it was. It could have been a legged out double, but you know, kind of a soft little gapper, so to speak, pseudo gappers. They were able to catch up to it before, you know, get the wall obviously and all that. But scores a run, and then it just kind of took the air out of the Phillies' sails a little bit. Phillies would ultimately end up losing 6-3. Dealis Guerra gives up three in the sixth, and the Phillies claw back for a couple, but can't finish out. On the whole, I actually thought, probably an unpopular opinion, I thought Arrieta pitched pretty well. A couple mistakes, but on the whole, as far as for it being Jake Arrieta, I thought he looked pretty good. You know, got some big double play balls when needed early in the game, especially a couple double plays in the first couple innings that were much needed. The four strikeouts, you know, a couple, one of them looking like had the stuff working a little bit. A lot of movement. Again, that the sinker was hard. It was being grounded out in important situations. Just those couple homers, and then the quote unquote double down the line that should have been had by Gene was really what did him in. So not a great outing from Arrieta, but I actually thought, considering the situation, Jake Arrieta pitching for the first time since August 11th of last year, so almost an entire year since Jake Arrieta took the mound in a meaningful game for the Philadelphia Phillies, and against the best team in baseball, I thought Arrieta was fine. You know, I thought he was okay. I thought he kept him in the game. Again, I think without that misplay by Segura, he only gives up two runs. And granted, you don't want to give up two home runs, but five innings, two runs just sounds a lot better than five innings, three runs. And I actually think he could have gone more. It looked like he wanted to keep going, but Girardi wanted to play it safe, 78 pitches in. Arrieta, again, first starting over almost a year. You know, he wanted to play it safe. So on the whole, I thought Arrieta was fine. You know, the issue is after Arrieta and after every starter, that's going to be the issue. This bullpen sucks. Let's just be real about it. Now, granted, only one pitcher in the pen sucked last night. Dealis Guerra, Adam Morgan comes in, gets an out. Tommy Hunter and Jose Alvarez both had clean, easy innings. Alvarez gave up a walk, but two strikeouts, no problem. But Dealis Guerra, two-thirds of an inning, a hit, three runs, three earned, one walk, just giving up that big home run, which is ultimately what did him in, a three-run shot to Gio Urshela, who just got a hold of one. And that was all she wrote. That really just put the game away. Guerra was horrific. I mean, just a horrible outing for Guerra as he came in, didn't seem to have much control over his pitches. Prior to the Urshela home run, that bat prior to that, Ford gave a long shot to the warning shot, too. You know, just they weren't able to get it going. It's frustrating. It's frustrating as the bullpen, look, we came into this season expecting the bullpen to be a major issue for this Phillies team. And guess what? The bullpen is a major issue for this Phillies team. I mean, facts, you know, it just is what it is. Here's some interesting stuff. Johnny Heller, who, if you don't follow Johnny on Twitter, he's great at Johnny Heller on Twitter. Always good for some great Phillies nuggets. Couple good ones on the bullpen last night. He went through and said bullpens that have not allowed, and this was in the Phillies are at 12.2 innings, so before I think Alvarez's inning. But he said bullpens that haven't allowed 11 earned runs in 2020. The Houston Astros in 46 and two-thirds innings. The A's in 40 and a third. The Dodgers in 45 and two-thirds. The Indians in 25. The Nationals in 24. The Cardinals in 18 and a third. The Phillies bullpen, at the time he tweeted this, had allowed 11 runs in just 12 and two-thirds innings. It's so bad. It's so frustrating. Johnny also tweeted out the bullpen has a, and this was prior to Alvarez's inning, but the bullpen now has a 8.03 ERA and a 1.784 whip at the time. Obviously got a little better with the clean inning, but man, who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk coming into this season the bullpen would be an issue and the bullpen would turn out to be an issue? Wow, what a shock. Look, it's a bad bullpen. And it's one of those things where you go into a season and you look at a team and how it's constructed and how many times do we talk about how the offense should be pretty good. And granted, it's not been great yet, but we're four games in. The starting pitching would do enough, I thought. Like, they'd be fine. Not great, but fine. But the bullpen was going to be the issue. The bullpen we knew was going to be the issue, and the bullpen turned out to be the issue yet again. and has been an issue through four games. And look, I think it's tough. You see Girardi trying to figure out how, who to roll out there, and it seems like the sixth inning's the kryptonite. You know, once you get to the seventh, he feels good about Hunter and Alvarez and those guys in there and Adam Morgan. But that sixth inning, we saw Rosso gets beat up on opening day. We saw Deolis Guerra last night get beat up in that spot. We've seen Reggie McClain in that spot. It's just been a tough transfer. Those guys, to get it to the back end, have been completely and totally unable to get the job done. And that is it's a big issue. And again, not surprising. When we looked how this bullpen was constructed, we said, oh, not good. This is a bad bullpen. And look, I think Matt Klentak deserves a lot of blame for that. And John Middleton, too. I mean, the fact that they, I mean, you look at the list of guys, and Francisco Liriano was here, and because of money reasons, we believe, because of money reasons, is not here. And Francisco Liriano, absolutely better than a fair amount of the guys we've seen enter games for the Phillies so far. But, you know, taking back to the offseason, you look at guys like Dellin Betances for $10 million to the Mets, a one-year deal. Blake Treinen, a one-year deal to the Dodgers for $10 million. You have to sign those type of guys. You have to. Do you want to compete or not? Is this a serious team or not? Look, I get it. You know, I understand that you don't want to go over the luxury tax. I get it. I'm there. I've lived this. We get it. But if you also can't not go over the luxury tax and claim you want to be a big boy, you can't say, I'm going to be a big boy. I'm going to be the Yankees of the South. I'm going to do what it takes to bring the bleeping trophy back to Philadelphia and then not do what it takes to bring the trophy back to Philadelphia. And I also get it that this team isn't good enough to, in their mind, go all in on. I understand that rationale, that philosophy, but there's a difference between like going all in and going slightly over the luxury tax to sign relievers that you need for your team. Like go into that first realm of the luxury tax, and I know it gets more punitive and all that, but we still don't know that they're ever going over it. Like, I believe they will if the right team and the right situation presents itself, but I certainly don't love that they're this shy about going over it to begin with. That's incredibly frustrating, especially when you look at guys like Deolis Garris and Guerra and Reggie McClain and all these guys coming out of the pen who just have no chance right now. And maybe there's some nice young arms, maybe there's some talent there. Like, I do like Ramon Rosso's arm, but I don't trust these guys to come into games right now. Certainly not meaningful games. Certainly not close games. And poor Joe Girardi's got to figure out how to get those guys in there and get outs. And it's not been going well for him. And look, I think you can criticize Girardi a little bit for the decisions. I thought bringing in Rosso, who I like, but in game one, in that spot, the sixth inning, the first reliever out of the pen, in a spot where you needed outs, it was a 3-1 game, a close game. I didn't love that call. I would have gone with someone more experienced, someone who was not their major league debut. And then last night, same thing with going to Guerra there. Like, I would have gone to someone you could trust more. I would have gone to someone you could trust more. I would have gone to Hunter there. I would have gone to Alvarez there. I would have gone to someone who's a real guy for me. And I know that you're later in the game, guys, but it's 3-1 at that moment. You're in New York. You know that you have not played baseball in over a week. And you know that, guess what? You're not playing tomorrow either. You don't have to worry about resting your guys or whatever. Get outs. Use your best guys there. Stay in that game. If you have an opportunity to steal a game from the Yankees, you have to steal it, especially when you know you have an off day the next day. And I know you have a doubleheader the day after that and then a long stretch of baseball unless it gets rained out and all that. I get it. Look, I'm not killing Girardi for it because I do understand the reality of the situation, especially for this Phillies team where the schedule is who knows what, and you could be playing all kinds of doubleheaders and you're going to be burning arms and all that. I get it. I do. But at the same time, like, I feel like in a season, especially now knowing that we're only going to play at best 56 games, 57, if we could play a bunch of doubleheaders and make up games and all that, like, more likely they'll play 52, 53, 54, somewhere in that range. These games matter even more. Every single one is amplified that much more than it already was. We talked about how amplified those games were. Now they're even more amplified. Like, it's even more important to win each one of them. And I just, in the first four games, I've not sensed that urgency from the team or from Girardi. Legitimately, I've not sensed that feeling of, oh man, we got to win these games. And again, I get it. Last night, I went in thinking they were going to lose. It's a massive disadvantage. I thought they had no real chance to win the game. But when you're down 3-1 in the sixth inning and you have a chance, like, you do have a chance. You're going to get past Garrett Cole there. You're going to get a chance to go up against that pen. We saw that the Phillies were able to claw a couple runs off that pen. Should have had more. second and third, one out in the seventh or whatever it was. I mean, yeah, in the seventh, that was frustrating. You know, not really able to get those runners around. In the eighth, opportunities yet again, unable to really capitalize more than a run. But they clawed back a little bit. And maybe if you're not down 6-1, you're even more invested in clawing back in. I just think it was the wrong guy in the wrong spot. And I think that, and again, look, I'm not, it's not like Girardi has a ton of options. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's not like Girardi can just pick whoever the hell he wants to go. But I would have gone with someone I trust a little more. Someone who I felt had a real chance to get me those outs in that spot there. And certainly would have removed Guerra a little quicker. When it was first and second, no out, it felt like they were going to remove him quicker. I know he had the three batter rule, but he got that out. It's like, all right, get him out. Don't let him face Urshela. I know you want to build some confidence on it, but I probably would have made a move there. Girardi didn't. It is what it is. I certainly don't think last night's loss is on Girardi, but it wasn't ideal. And look, the offense needs to do better too. Going up against Gerrit Cole, I know, but three runs, you know, is not going to be enough. You know, just Romuto, the only player with two hits. You know, Segura had an RBI hit, which was nice to see. The Jay Bruce home run was nice to see. Adam Haseley had one really terrific at bat. Fallon bows off a 10 ball at bat and a 10 pitch at bat, ended up getting on base later in the game. That was nice to see, but on the whole, you still need to see more from this offense. I mean, McCutchen 1-for-5, and the one was a infield hit that he got a little lucky on. Hoskins 0-for-4, Harper 1-for-4, Didi 1-for-4. I mean, no runs for any of those guys, no RBI for any of those guys. That's not going to get it done. You know, you need more from that those guys, especially in a big spot where, you know you're going up against the best pitcher in baseball. You really need to show up a little more. So a disappointment all around. I think more than anything, the bullpen is the glaring issue coming out of that game. And maybe that's also because we expected it to be the glaring issue going into the season, but it certainly was the glaring issue last night as the Phillies now fall to 1-3. The Braves lost last night, which was nice, 7-4. Braves actually a bigger loss than just loss last night. And obviously, you know, you don't want to see anyone get injured. It's a bummer. Mike Soroka, one of the great young pitchers in the game, really had an amazing rookie year last year. Torn Achilles out for the year. That is a massive blow. One of Atlanta's best pitchers, maybe their best pitcher. Like, he's right there for them. Look, you know, it's you know when to say, oh, yay for the Phillies, but it is good. It helps the Phillies. It helps the NL East, but it's a bummer because young kid, ton of talent, Achilles tear is never fun. That's never cool. But he does go down. Braves lose. They're down to 7-4. And then it's the thing, even at 1-3, the division's wide open. Division's wide open as the Nats are 3-4, the Phillies 1-3, and the Mets 4-7. So division wide open. The Cubs at 8-2 and the Rockies at 7-2, the two best records in the National League. Didn't see that coming. They've been playing good baseball. The Dodgers 7-4 along with the Padres right behind them, but the Rockies playing good baseball. As I said, remember, someone's going to make the playoffs because of a hot start, and it's going to be unexpected, and it looks like the Rockies could be that type of team. We'll see. But right now, the Phillies need to start winning some baseball games. Again, they will not play tonight, so, you know, we can't win tonight. I guess by not playing, you win a little, you don't lose. In a percentage-based world, that's something. But we will see on Wednesday, the Phillies back in action. Nolan Wheeler, you got to feel good about their opportunities and that. We'll preview those games tomorrow, more tomorrow, obviously. But, you know, you feel good with your opportunities with those two guys on the hill in any day. And then 2 7-inning games, the first experience for us Phillies fans with the 7-inning doubleheaders. It should be neat. And look, again, I don't love the rule as a baseball fan. I think it's kind of cheap and it doesn't feel like baseball in the same way. But specifically, if we're just looking at how does this affect teams, the Phillies, by far, one of the teams that benefits from this the most. Not just because they have to play a bunch of doubleheaders, but as we know, as we just spent a bunch of time talking about, the bullpen sucks. So any opportunity you can get more out of your starters and less out of your bullpen and, get 6 from Nola, 6 from Wheeler and hand it to Hector, you know, okay. And I don't think Hector would pitch in both ends of a doubleheader, but you know what I mean. Like, that's the kind of thing we need to see. How about this? 6 from Nola and hand it to Hector, 7 from Wheeler, and we're done. Let's do that, you know? But it'll be fun to watch a doubleheader, a 7-inning one, or whatever. We'll take it. The Phillies back in action on Wednesday. Need a win. Got to win at least 1-2. Preferably find a way to win 2 and get back to 500. But, you know, the Yankees are good, so I'm not expecting that. All right, quickly, before we get out of here. Just looking around baseball, the Cardinals, it looks like more people have tested positive. I think it's up to 7 players and 6 staffers, somewhere in that range. Not great. The Cardinals, you would think, would be on the shelf for a little bit. And then Marlins news yesterday is Derek Jeter comes out and defending his guys. Jeter with some ridiculous comments, at least in my opinion. Jeter said, quote-unquote, guys were around each other. They got relaxed and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as they should have. They weren't social distancing. Quote-unquote, our guys were not running all around town in Atlanta. We did have a couple of individuals leave the hotel. We had guys leave to get milk, coffee, and to get clothes. Okay, milk. Weird. He said, a guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house. There were no other guests on site. There was no salacious activity. There's no hanging out bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta. Okay, Derek. No one believes you. Just be real. No one believes you. And whatever. I understand that you're going to defend your players and you don't want to get in trouble for not running a tight ship and all that type of stuff. But we all know. I mean, it's been reported. We know what happened. And to that point, I said yesterday, you know, Joe Girardi and other Phillies players have been hesitant to, you know, call out the Marlins for ruining a week of their season. I was happy to hear that there was a Philly who did. Andrew McCutchen on Jason Stark's podcast, Jason Stark and Doug Glanville. Jason Stark, the best, as far as I'm concerned, at writing about baseball and talking about baseball. He's the man. McCutchen said this on their podcast, and look, I get it. You don't want to call other players, and you don't know if, like, you know, what if someone on a great point I heard Al Morgani make on the morning show is that, like, what if one of someone on your team does the same thing and there's an outbreak on your club, then you don't want people blaming you for something someone else on your team did or whatever. But McCutchen, finally, a player on the Phillies speaking out, says, quote unquote, I was upset at everything that transpired through that. Whoever decided to step out or not necessarily follow health and safety protocol, that upset me. What made me angry was that we, as the Phillies, we were the ones that ended up having to pay for that. We followed all of the health and safety protocols. We knew that was important. We understood that's what we needed to do to be able to play this game. And we did everything right. And we paid for it. And so for me, that was upsetting. I'm sitting here at home watching 27 to 26 other teams play, and we're sitting at home, all testing negative, by the way. And we have to watch this happen while we did nothing wrong. So for me, that was very upsetting. It was very upsetting that we did everything right and we were still the ones who had to pay for it. Yes, Andrew. Yes, Andrew. So with you, buddy. Look, that's how I would feel too. I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. The Marlins were careless. And as a result, the Phillies didn't play baseball for a week. Boom. Ipso facto. One begets the other. That's it. And I can understand, you know, you don't want to rip other players, rip other teams, whatever, but, like, call it like you see it. And I appreciate that from Andrew McCutchen. I'm mad at the Marlins. I am. I'm furious at the Marlins. I hate the Marlins more than I hate any other team in baseball. Sorry. Facts. You guys helped to ruin my season, or at least a week of it. And look, again, to the thing we talked about at the top of the show, put the Phillies in a massive competitive disadvantage. That week off isn't just a, we don't get to watch baseball for a week. It's a, they're not ready to come back and play a team like the Yankees because their timing isn't on. Their habit isn't on. They're not ready to roll into that situation and play with a team like that. And now you have to ramp back up and get back to it while, by the way, playing a bunch of doubleheaders along the way to catch up to the game, as many games as you can get in. It's a massive disadvantage. The Phillies' chances to make the playoffs were hurt significantly by this situation. Facts. Period. End of story. That's what it is. So if you're not mad at the Marlins, I don't get it, because I am. I'm not, and again, I'm not mad at people for being sick. I'm mad at them for being careless and allowing that to happen. And look, if Derek Jeter is not wrong, and he did say they were not social distancing, they were not wearing masks, so already they're in the wrong as far as being baseball players and having a responsibility. But regardless, even if they weren't going out to clubs and bars and all that, they still bear responsibility for not taking this seriously enough. And the result is the Phillies got screwed out of a week of baseball and now have to play catch up. And that is a massive, massive disadvantage, and it's a bummer. So I'm with you, Andrew. Mad at the Marlins is what it is. All right. No baseball tonight. Not for the Phillies, anyway. Other teams will be playing, but we get a night off. Just what we wanted, right? Another night off. Look, tomorrow, doubleheader. We'll dive into that tomorrow. We'll break down the matchups. Phillies need them. They need to win at least one. I mean, you can't be 1-5 to start the season. It's just when you're only going to play 55 games or whatever, 1-5 is a massive, massive disadvantage to start. So the Phillies need to get on their horse. They need to win one tomorrow. We'll dive into all of it. We'll break down the games and whatever else is going around on around baseball as well tomorrow. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.